from Jakarta. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in English program. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia presents news, actual information, as well as entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast on shortwave on frequencies of 3325 kHz. You can listen to our program at www.voinews.id. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying. Hello, listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news first, the headlines. President Joko Widodo received under 16 national team. Indonesian President and Vietnamese Prime Minister to conduct bilateral meeting on the sidelines of the IMF WBG 2018 meetings. Now the news in details. President Joko Widodo received a contingent of Indonesia's under 16 national team at the Merdeka Palace, Jakarta on Thursday. The contingent comprises soccer players, officials, and coaches of the under 16 team. The head of state was accompanied by Youth and Sport Minister Imam Nahrawi and Minister State Secretary Pratikno while receiving the contingent. During the meeting, Jokowi expressed pride over the team being able to compete with other teams from several countries. He believes there are sample opportunities to make the team the nation's pride. The Indonesian President Joko Widodo will hold a bilateral meeting with Prime Minister of Vietnam Nguyen Xuan Phuc on the sidelines of the annual meeting of the International Monetary Fund. The two leaders are scheduled to meet on October 12, 2018, to discuss a number of issues regarding strengthening trade and investment cooperation. The Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs Southeast Asia's Director Denny Abdi, in a media briefing held in Jakarta on Thursday, explained that Indonesia and Vietnam are currently exploring the potentials of the two countries. These potentials include industrial technology and digital economy. In addition, the two countries are also trying to increase the value of trade by eliminating trade barriers that reduce the competitiveness of export products in each country. One example is trade barriers faced by Indonesian automotive products that will enter Vietnam.
Dan kita mencoba melihat kerjasama industri.
And we try to see the industry collaboration that has great potentials in the future. In this case, the technological industries and digital economy are back again. Well, so with Vietnam, we have what we call the same potential, and indeed we need to strengthen coordination. Well, one of the challenges we are trying to overcome in the fields is trying to facilitate trade between the two countries. So the two countries are the same. Both want to increase the trade between the two countries. As we all know, for example, Indonesian automotive goes to Vietnam, so we make sure that in these meetings, Indonesian export products will not have obstacles. Denny further said that it is expected that with the bilateral meeting between President Jokowi and Prime Minister Nguyen Xuan Phuc, Indonesia and Vietnam could jointly improve their economic growth. Denny Abdi added, as a friendly country and fellow members of the Asian, Indonesia and Vietnam should support each other to increase economic growth in the midst of uncertain global economic conditions. Regarding cooperation between Indonesia and Vietnam, on a bilateral visit of President Jokowi on September 13, 2018, an action plan for the implementation of Indonesia-Vietnam Strategic Partnership for 2019-2023 was signed. The agreed action plan aims to expand the fields of partnership between Indonesia and Vietnam, such as industrial innovation and intellectual property, creative economy, digital economy, and human resources development in order to face the Industrial Revolution 4.0. 10 heads of states or heads of governments of Asian member countries are scheduled to hold an Asian Leaders Gathering meeting on the sidelines of the annual meeting of the International Monetary Fund and the World Bank in Nusa Dua Bali. The meeting is scheduled to be held on October 11, 2018. And specifically, we'll discuss efforts to increase Asian synergy with international efforts related to the achievement of the Sustainable Development Goals in Asian 2025 vision. Indonesian Foreign Ministry spokesman Arman Atanasir in a media briefing in Jakarta on Thursday said United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres, World Bank President Jim Yong Kim, and International Monetary Fund Managing Director of the International Monetary Fund will attend the meeting.
Disengaja dibuat back-to-back dengan annual meeting-nya IMF World Bank.
It is deliberately held back-to-back with the IMF World Bank annual meeting. Well, the IMF World Bank is actually a ministerial-level meeting. However, for this time, Indonesia has invited 10 Asian countries led by the heads of states and the heads of governments to present at this meeting. The main objective of the Asian Leaders Gathering meeting is to take advantage of the presence of the UN Secretary General, the President of the World Bank, and also the Managing Director of the IMF to discuss an enhanced synergy related to the sustainable development of Asian countries, as well as international efforts to achieve the sustainable development goals. The theme of the meeting was achieving SDGs and overcoming development goals through regional and global collaborative action. Armanata further explained that the meeting initiated by Indonesia would also try to discuss measures to strengthen stability, integration, and accelerate economic development in the Southeast Asian region. This meeting will also be used by Asian to demonstrate the successful development of Asian member countries in the past 50 years. Armanata said that Asian today is an area with gross domestic products of $2.5 trillion. The GDP has managed to put Asian as a region with the sixth largest economy in the world and third in Asia, with an average growth of 4.8% or above the world average growth. According to Armanata, Asian is currently working to maintain stable growth and ensure fair growth, maintain growth and resilience in the context of the economy. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Indonesian President Joko Widodo and Prime Minister of Singapore Lee Hsien Loong will again hold an annual meeting or the third leaders' retreat on the sidelines of the World Annual Monetary Fund Bank Group in Nusa Dua Bali. The two leaders are scheduled to meet on October 11, 2018, or prior to the Asian Leaders Gathering, which is also held on the same day. On this occasion, the two heads of states will also sign an agreement related to the promotion of investment protection between Indonesia and Singapore. The agreement is a bilateral agreement related to investment signed by Indonesia and friendly countries. In the future, the agreement will be used as a model for strengthening investment between Indonesia and friendly countries. This was explained by the Director of Southeast Asia of the Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Denny Abdi, in a media briefing session held in Jakarta on Thursday.
Kita juga mendorong penguatan kerjasama investasi antara Indonesia dengan Singapura nanti pada saat itu.
We also encourage investment cooperation between Indonesia and Singapore at that time before the head of state signed an agreement regarding the promotion of investment protection between Indonesia and Singapore. So, if you might have known, since 2014, the Indonesian government reviewed the approval of bilateral investment treaty between Indonesia and friendly countries. Now, what will be signed with Singapore will be the first bilateral investment treaty that Indonesia has signed with a friendly country, so that it is expected that in the future it will become a model for strengthening investment between Indonesia and friendly countries. In addition to focusing on increasing investment cooperation between Indonesia and Singapore, Denny said the meeting between President Jokowi and Prime Minister Lee Hsien Loong would also discuss increasing cooperation in training and education. Singapore, which has excellence in the education sector, is expected to become a partner for Indonesia to increase the ability and competitiveness of the young generation in Indonesia, which is quite large. Furthermore, Denny explained that the form of cooperation included the establishment of polytechnics that adopt the Singapore education system and curriculum. One of the polytechnics has been established in Kendal Industrial Park, Central Java, and focuses on the furniture or furniture industry. In the future, according to Denny, similar polytechnics will be re-established in a number of regions in Indonesia with different focus in each region. Then, at the same time, the Indonesian government will also send Indonesian students to get training and education in a number of educational institutions or institutions in Singapore. 8 Memorandum of Understanding will be signed at the third annual meeting or leaders' retreat between Indonesian President Joko Widodo and Prime Minister of Singapore Lee Hsien Loong in Nusa Dua Bali on October 11, 2018. The four memorandums of understanding are scheduled to be signed by the minister or minister-level officials, while the other four MOUs will be signed by high officials from relevant institutions, ministries, and representatives of state-owned enterprises. According to Director of Southeast Asia of the Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs, Denny Abdi, in a media briefing held in Jakarta on Thursday, October 4, 2018, the eight memorandum of understanding are in the fields of investment cooperation, culture, health, maritime, industry, financial technology, and tourism.
Yang pertama adalah agreement on the promotion and protection of investment.
The first is the agreement on protection of investment. The second is the cultural cooperation program for 2019-2022 concerning cooperation in the fields of arts and heritage. The third is the MOU on health cooperation. The fourth is the MOU on financial technology cooperation. The fifth is instrument of extension for the MOU concerning cooperation on the human resources development on the maritime fields. The sixth MOU is on the cooperation for development and implementation for Industry 4.0. Then the seventh and also the eighth MOU are on the program for financial technology learning for higher education and MOU on cruise tourism cooperation between Pelindo 3 and Star Cruise. Denny further said that several memorandums of understanding to be signed are a follow-up to the previous meeting between President Jokowi and Prime Minister Lee Hsien Loong in Singapore in 2017. At the meeting, the two leaders agreed to cooperate in the digital economy, which has great potential to be developed by both countries. Singapore, as a country that has excellent global connectivity, is expected to be a hub for Indonesia to develop and expand the digital economy. Indonesia itself has the potential for good digital economic growth with a large number of internet users, penetration of social media users, and cellular phone customers dominated by millennials or the younger generation. The Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs of the Republic of Indonesia stated that as many as 18 countries and two international organizations have recently committed to provide assistance to the government of Indonesia for victims of the earthquake followed by a tsunami that shook the regions of Palu, Donggala, Sigi, and Parigi Mutong, Central Sulawesi. The spokesman for the Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs, Arman Atanasir, in a media briefing in Jakarta on Thursday, October 4, 2018, explained that the assistance was in accordance with the six types of international assistance previously determined by the National Task Force, namely in the form of air transportation, in the form of Hercules aircraft, C-130 or the like, tents, field hospitals, smoke, generators, and clean water treatment. Whereas for other assistance that will be provided in the form of financial assistance will be managed by the National Disaster Management Agency and the Indonesian Red Cross. It will not directly channeled like the six types of assistance previously mentioned.
Tadi terkait dengan negara yang bersedia membantu, itu tidak termasuk negara-negara yang menyampaikan komitmennya akan memberikan bantuan.
Previously related to a country that was willing to help, it did not include countries that have expressed their commitment to provide financial assistance. So there are also many countries saying that they are ready to provide financial assistance. Here are also included in the 18 countries that I mentioned. Well, for the financial assistance mechanism that has been submitted by the National Task Force is if the financial assistance comes from the government, it will be regulated by the National Agency for Disaster Management, whereas if the assistance comes from an international organization or NGO, it will be managed by the Indonesian Red Cross. However, Armanata cannot mention which countries are willing to provide such assistance because the data can still change at any time. On the same occasion, Armanata explained that there are 20 aircraft assistance from 11 countries that have obtained flight clearance or permission to fly, but the aircraft cannot land simultaneously because it must be adjusted to the conditions of the airport and the existing runway at some points. The flight clearance is only provided for cargo aircraft and Hercules C-130 military aircraft or the like, and the Indonesian government still prohibits commercial aircraft from entering the Palu area. Armanata also said it had received reports that India, Singapore, and Malaysia had provided airplane assistance, which had now landed at Sultan Haji Muhammad Sulaiman Sepinggan Airport Balikpapan, East Kalimantan. Several experts and commodity analysts will deliver outlook of the world palm oil business at the 2018 International Palm Oil Conference IPOC, held from October 31st to November 2nd in Nusa Dua, Bali. The world's largest palm oil conference is an annual event organized by the Indonesian Palm Oil Business Association. IPOC 2018 chairperson Mona Surya noted in a press statement received by Antara in Jakarta on Wednesday. Among the speakers are James Fry from LMC International England, Dorab Mistry from Godrej International England, Thomas Milk from Mista Milke GmbH Oil World Germany, and other world-class speakers. Surya remarked that the experts will respond to questions on palm oil prices that fell down sharply this year and the projections for next year. She pointed out that IPOC has become a reference for the world's analysts and business persons to analyze current year prices and make an outlook for palm oil prices for next year. Analysis provided by the expert at IPOC will be a reference in the business decisions-making process. Mona, who is also PT Minanga Ogan CEO, stated that the 2018 IPOC and the 2019 outlook price will bear the theme Palm Oil Development Contribution to SDGs. The theme also holds significance as it addresses negative issues of palm oil plantations. Listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Commentary. Comments on actual national and international issues from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program commentary through RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Well, listener, today's topic is new leadership in Iraq. Iraq carried out the first parliamentary election in May this year. The result of the election is not immediately announced because dispute occur among the participants of the general election. This is the first election in Iraq since ISIS, which control Iraq, could be defeated. Based on the result of this election, none of the parties won absolutely. Among 329 parliamentary seats, the clerical group Shia Muqtada al-Sadr won 54 parliamentary seats. Siti Groot won 47 seats and the former Prime Minister Alliance Group Haider al-Abadi won 42 seats. The remaining was won by other groups including Kurdish parties. In accordance with the conventions made since the United States intervened in the Iraqi issue, the President's position will be held by the Kurds, the Prime Minister by the Sittes, and the Speaker of the Parliament by Sunnis. However, there is no agreement on who the Kurdish representative becomes president. This has made two Kurdish parties, the Democratic Party or Kurdistan and the Kurdistan Patriotic Union in parliament, propose their respective candidates. Voting was conducted to determine who the president of Iraq is. As Rizal Barham Salih, a veteran politician who was deputy minister, won 219 votes against 22 votes obtained by Fuad Hussein. Salih has 15 days to appoint a prime minister. During the next 2 weeks, Salih will move quickly by appointing a senior Shia politician, Adil Abdul Mahdi, as the prime minister who has 30 days to form a government. Although no one is a majority winner in the parliament, there may be challenges in forming a government. This is good news for the democratic festivity in Iraq. We do not expect any more splitting in Iraq because Hibi duties awaits anyone who is the leader of Iraq. Rebuilding Iraq that was destroyed by war requires hard work by all parties. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Today in History, presenting you historical facts of the day.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Hello listener, this is Radio World Service, Voice of Indonesia with Today in History. Well listener, we begin from the information on 5th of October 1945. At the time, the People's Security Agency was changed into the People's Security Army, which was the pioneer of the Indonesian military, or TNI. The People's Security Agency was the first armed forces established after Indonesia obtained its independence. The establishment of the People's Security Agency was implemented at the summit of the Preparatory Committee for Indonesian Independence on 22nd of August 1945, announced by First President Sukarno on 23rd of August 1945. The members of the People's Security Agency were Indonesian youth who previously received military education as the soldiers of AHIO, defenders of the homeland, Royal Netherlands East Indies Army, KNIL, and others. Aruji Kartawinata was appointed as the commander of the People's Security Agency through the presidential decree on 5th of October 1945. The People's Security Agency was changed into the People's Security Army. The name of the armed forces changed several times before becoming the Indonesian Military, or TNI. The second information is that West Sulawesi officially became one of the provinces in Indonesia with Mamuju as its capital. West Sulawesi was separated from South Sulawesi. The province was established on 5th of October 2004 based on Act No. 6/2004. West Sulawesi is rich of tourism objects. Besides cocoa, the region is also known as the producer of Robusta and Arabic coffee, coconut, as well as cloth. In addition, the province has abundant mining resources such as coal, and petroleum. Music. And the last information is about the World Teachers' Day on 5th of October. The World Teachers' Day has been commemorated every October the 5th since 1994. The aim of celebrating the event is to give support for teachers all over the world and convince them that the sustainability of future generations depends on them. According to UNESCO, the World Teachers' Day represents care, understanding, and appreciation, a big to support the vital roles of teachers by sharing knowledge and building generations. Well, listener, that was Today in History, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Hello listener, nice to be with you again in our regular program, My Indonesia, through RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Today's topic is that the Minister of Industry is optimistic Indonesia can be the world Muslim patient orientation.
Indonesia in economy, international politics, sports, environment, and Pancasila, only on Indonesiaku, My Indonesia.
The Minister of Industry is currently holding the International Muslim Patient Expo, IMFE, which has taken place from 1st until 6th October 2018 at the Industrial Plaza, Minister of Industry in Jakarta. Minister of Industry Airlangga Hartarto remarked at the opening ceremony of the exhibition in Jakarta on Monday that the IMFE is a concrete effort implemented by the Minister of Industry to make Indonesia as the world Muslim patient orientation in 2020. Minister Airlangga said that Indonesia has a lot of opportunities to be the world Muslim patient orientation, remembering that Indonesia is the country with the largest Muslim populations. The global Islam economy has predicted that the growth of world Muslim patient market will reach $327 billion in 2020. It also said that Indonesia is one of the five major members of the Organization of Islamic Cooperation, exporting the most Muslim patient products beside Bangladesh, Turkey, Morocco, and Pakistan. In 2017, Bangladesh, as the member of the Organization of Islamic Cooperation, exported the most Muslim patient products worth $33.73 billion, followed by Turkey on the second position with a value of $12.73 76 billion US dollars, and Indonesia on the third position with the value of 12.23 billion US dollars. Minister Erlangga further explained that the markets of Muslim patient products have become more diversified as the growing number of Indonesian and global Muslim populations. Meanwhile, General Director of the Small Medium Enterprises at the Minister of Industry, Gati Wibawaningsi, said that the IMFE is organized by the collaboration between Minister of Industry and the designers joining in the Modest Patient Teen Project, MOFE. She also said that the exhibition aims at realizing the vision of making Indonesia as the world Muslim patient orientation in 2020. Well, listener, that was My Indonesia. Thanks for listening.
Welcome back, listener. Here is news in brief. President Joko Widodo received a contingent of Indonesia's under-16 national team at the Merdeka Palace, Jakarta, on Thursday. Several experts and commodity analysts will deliver outlook of the world palm oil business at the 2018 International Palm Oil Conference held from October 31st to November 2nd in Nusa Dua, Bali. Listener, that was news in brief over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Voice of Indonesia.
You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, broadcasting to the frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listeners, welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary arts, fine arts, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will introduce you to a tourism object of Taman Gandrung Terrakota. Stay tuned. Listeners, on 22nd September 2018, Banyuwangi Regency East Java has just inaugurated Taman Gandrung Terrakota, the tourism icon of Banyuwangi that will attract young tourists, has hundreds of Gandrung dance statues. The park becomes special because it was built at terraced rice fields under Mount Ijen located in Jiwa Jawa Ijen Resort, Licin Sub District Banyuwangi. According to Sigit Pramono, an initiator of Taman Gandrung Terrakota, the park is a site to preserve and reconcile Gandrung dance as one of cultural identities of Banyuwangi. Moreover, he said that Gandrung art is a form of gratitude of flourishing agriculture output. Therefore, the site of Rawat Tari Gandrung is located at rice farming, where the farmers keep plowing rice fields by buffalo, planting and cropping paddy. Listeners, Taman Gandrung Terrakota is inspired by terracotta warrior and horses in China, which was built at Qin Shi Huang during the Emperor era in 259 until 210 before century. The setting involved art curators from Galeri Nasional Indonesia and a lecturer of Institut Seni Indonesia Yogyakarta, Dr. Suwarno Wesetrotomo. There are about 1,000 statues of Gandrung dance at the park. The statues are placed separately and collectively. The park is called Terracotta because it is another name of putri that is used as a basic material of visualization for Gandrung dance. Listeners, models of statue at Taman Gandrung Terracotta are taken by a photographer, Sigit's Photos. Then, the photos were created to be statues by Budi Santoso artists and were printed by statue makers in Kasongan, Yogyakarta. The statues were made manually one by one. Even though they have the same formation, there are some differences. The major differences are facial expression and smiles of Gandrung dance. The statues were made of putri such as burnt clay. It was made of putri because the putri has strong philosophy related to Gandrung dance. It is meant to be closer with nature based on the philosophy of life. Listeners, if you are in Taman Gandrung Terracotta, you can enjoy beauty of Mount Ijen, whose height is 2,443 meters above sea level at the west side. Mount Ijen has crater which radiates blue flame globally. Looking at the east side, there is blue aura of Bali Strait. You can enjoy not only a series of statues of Gandrung dance, but also green hills and terrace rice fields, farmers flowering rice fields, coffee farm, durian trees, various kinds of bamboos, and local endemic plants at the park. They are open amphitheater for scheduled art show-off and jazz music exhibition at the middle of the park. Listeners, that was Indonesian Wonder for Today edition about Taman Gandrung Terracotta. We meet again for another interesting topic. See you. Thank you for listening.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Hello listeners of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Welcome back in Miscellany. Today's edition will bring you information about 73rd anniversary of Indonesian National Armed Forces. So stay tuned with us at www.voinews.id. Listeners, October 5th is commemorated as the anniversary of the Indonesian National Armed Forces, TNI. On October 5th, 2018, TNI enters 73rd years old. TNI Commander Marshal Hadi Cahyono said that the 73rd TNI anniversary commemoration was carried out in every city from Sabang to Merauke. In Jakarta, the TNI's main weaponry system or Alutsista exhibition was held at the National Monument, Jakarta. The exhibition was held from Thursday to Saturday, September 27 until 29, 2018. Alutsista on display include Anoa, Komodo, and Leopard tanks, Every year, the Alutsista exhibition in Monas attracts the attention of people who want to witness or take photos with different equipment. Not only in Jakarta, on the 73rd TNI anniversary and Kodam 4 Diponegoro will hold an Alutsista exhibition on the Ahmad Yani Army Air Base Semarang. Head of Information on Military Region 4 Diponegoro, Colonel A. Erha Zainuddin said that the activity is carried out on 5 to 7 October 2018. The opening of the exhibition is held after the ceremony at Ahmad Yani Air Base on 5 October. At the exhibition displayed Alutsista from the Army, Sea and Air, where Apache helicopters will be the main focus. The event will also feature TNI Yong Modo martial arts demonstrations, dances, and art performances. Commemorating the 73rd TNI anniversary, the TNI held 2018 Indonesian National Armed Forces International Marathon to be held at Kuta Beach, Mandalika, Bali. The running competition was held on 23rd September 2018, and it has a total prize of 10 billion rupiah. In Palembang, the red-white heritage flag was paraded around the city on Saturday, September 29, 2018. The procession was a series of flag relay activities welcoming the TNI anniversary. The flag relay series was carried out in a relay involving TNI poly personnel and community elements. After Palembang, the parade passed through a number of other major cities such as Yogyakarta, Surabaya, Balikpapan, Manado, Kupang, Ambon, Sorong, and ended in Merauke. Listeners, that was Miscellany for today featuring 73rd anniversary of Indonesian National Armed Forces. We will meet again with other interesting topics. Thank you for listening.
We'll meet again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listeners of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back in Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you some songs from West Java, which is mentioned Sundanese land. Most of West Java people use Sundanese language. Sundanese language forms a group of language which is classified into Malay until Sumbawa language. The regional language is used in various aspects of life, including in the songs. To initiate our segment Music Corner, let's listen to Sagara Cinta sung by Tuti Mariati. Stay with us, RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, which can be heard through live streaming at www.voinews.id or RRI Play application.
bicang ca nadi mana panutanu di pimlang iraha urang patepang deui na iraha jeung di mana. Jamparing pamentang rasa harapan nu urang luaan sejati ingin salamina jeung satujuan. Tapi elimai nah di mana pujaan kembang katresna panglipur hati. Di mana panutan nu dipimelan iraha urang patepang deui la iraha jeung di mana. Ah kamana nyimpaikeun salangka tresna na di mana jamparing pamentang rasa harapan nu urang.
Listeners, that was the first song entitled Sagara Cinta sung by Tuti Mariati. In Sundanese language, Sagara Cinta means Sea of Love. Even though the singer comes from South Sulawesi, Tuti Mariati is fluent in Sundanese language because she spent her teenager period in Bandung, West Java. Besides being good at singing kroncong songs, Tuti can also sing Sundanese songs well. Her vocal character, which is soft and melodious, is very suitable to sing songs in Sundanese rhythm. In addition to being active in singing in Indonesia, Tuti Mariati often participates in cultural mission to various countries to sing. Listeners, let's listen to the next song entitled Mi Dua Cinta, sung by Mary Andani. Listeners, you have just listened to the second song entitled Mi Dua Cinta, sung by Mary Andani. Mi Dua Cinta means cheating. The song tells about someone who breaks her love. Her love feeling disappears. Now the love has gone. Mary Andani is an Indonesian singer who sings a dangdut genre. The woman who was born in Bandung, West Java, began to be well known in Indonesia entertainment through song entitled Dinding Pemisah, which was popularized in 1990s. No wonder if Mary is able to sing Sundanese songs well. Listeners, to conclude our segment Music Corner for today, let's listen to the last song entitled Nenggelis, sung by Tuti Mariati. Thank you for listening.
Akan kita nanti titik. Kong batu emu
Panginten
Asa ngagepuk
Panginten
Asa ratikuk
Se
Kapan tang pala asmara
Sikat na, sikat tetet na Tarif na kawas emut na
Manji kapila rahasia wangi
Bati emut Bati emut
Bakti emot
Lepas patari matana
Bakti emot Bakti emot
Kersono di ajar
Thank you for listening to English program from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast on shortwave on frequencies of 3325 kHz. You can also tune at voinews.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, RRI Building, 4th floor, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta. P.O. Box 1157 Jakarta 10110 Indonesia. You can also join us on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter at VOI Indonesia. Our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.